Jason, in the last couple of weeks, with a skip in between, I guess it was, has been talking to us about our hearts, about the heart of God, the heart of man, the seat of our emotions. And I've been thinking about the Psalms. In the Psalms are full of a lot of human experiences. At times, the Psalms might set our hearts to joy. Sometimes we turn to them when sorrow is heavy on our heart. In the Psalms, there's contrasting things. We have the love and the hate. There's joy and there's sorrow. There's hope and fear, peace and strife. And then there's faith and despair. All the stuff that this life that we live is made up of, emotions from our heart, the seat of man's being. And the psalm is sure rich in those emotions. It's no wonder that down through the years, for our brothers and sisters that still live and those that have gone on before us, have turned to the psalms for comfort and for joy and for just admonition as they read them. And so I thought for tonight, in our consideration, we might think just of the very first psalm. I like the psalm. It's not too long, you know. I've got six verses here, so if you'd like to turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, I'll just read down through it and then maybe a few comments about it. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, he knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Solomon's psalm here. Two basic parts, the blessed man and the sinful man. The godly man, or the blessed man, you might say the saint and the sinner. First three verses deals with the godly man. And it says, blessed is the man. As I thought about that, I said to myself, and I say to you, how blessed are you? Or how blessed am I? Something to consider, something to meditate upon and think about it. A good old hymn that we like to sing reminds us to count our blessings, for it says, when upon life's billows we're tempest-tossed, when we're discouraged thinking all is lost, it says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised to see what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Kind of blessings? Well, there's temporal blessings. Most of us have enjoyed a good supper. I know I did. And there's not many days I don't. In fact, probably I don't remember when I didn't enjoy my suppers, my dinners, my breakfasts. Make sure I get fed physically. But anyhow, it's a blessing, isn't it? Some people don't have that blessing. And they go with much less than we have for sure. But that's a temporal blessing, food. But it's a good blessing. These very clothes that we wear, and most of us have nice clothes and not too raggedy or anything like that. And Lord's blessed us with the ability to purchase these things and to wear them. And we can be thankful for that. And we have homes to live in, temporal blessings, food, clothing, and shelter. place to get out of the weather. Right now it's nice, you know, it wouldn't be bad sleeping out under the stars. But in a month or two, you might think differently, won't we? 3 months for sure. Yeah. So we can be thankful for these temporal blessings that God's given us. And this is what the blessed man has received. And there's physical blessings. Most of us have gotten here on our own strength. And for that, we can be very thankful for. We have the blessing of sight, hearing, and some have enjoyed long life. Physical blessings. But then there's the spiritual blessings that are all important and most to be desired. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." But what are these spiritual blessings, we might ask, as we consider them? As we're thinking about our blessings, just to name a few, we could think of God's grace. And we think of that verse in Corinthians where it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, yet for my sake, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." The grace of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast." There's a blessing of mercy. God withholding from us the judgment that we are due. God's grace, well, he's given us things that we don't deserve. And his mercy. Spiritual blessings. Think of peace. How many people in this world today can lie down on their pillow in peace and know that should they never wake in this life, that they'd wake in eternity? Well, it's in a minority, I'm afraid, and that's too bad, and that should motivate us to be more Christ-like in our living, in our example, in our witness, that others might have that peace that only God can give. In Ephesians, again, it says that he's our peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a position, more spiritual blessings. We have a position in Christ. We become heirs and joint heirs with him. We're children of God. What a position. We might think it great if we were the son of George Bush, maybe, or a president. We'll say that. Maybe you don't like him. I don't know. But anyhow, if we were the son of a president or a king or a queen, we might think, wow, that would be quite a position. But we are, aren't we? We're a son or a daughter of the Lord God Almighty. What a position that we have. There's spiritual blessings that this blessed man enjoys in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 9. And this blessed man, this godly man, there's a path that he takes that brings these blessings to him. You see, because he's separated from the world. He's in it, but he's not of it. There's a path that he takes, and he's separated. The happy man, the blessed man, he's marked by the things he doesn't do, places that he doesn't go, books he doesn't read, perhaps movies he doesn't watch, and company that he doesn't keep. So there's a path that he takes, and he guards that to make sure that he, with God's help, remains true and faithful, because he wants to be happy. And just as all of us want to be happy and be blessed, but we need to follow the example of the blessed man in this first psalm. He doesn't listen to the ungodly man, and how willing the ungodly would like to give us advice, you know? Oh, it's okay, you can do that. No, you gotta do what you know is right. And you don't listen to ungodly men or women with their advice, even though they're very willing to give it. He doesn't linger with the sinful man, it says. You know, there's nothing wrong with being friends of the world. In fact, the Lord Jesus was called a friend of publicans and sinners. But he had a much higher purpose in mind than just fellowshipping with the riffraff, you might call him, or whatever. And so, following his example, we should be friendly, and it's okay to have friends, I believe, in the world, but we need to be careful, because we'll find that friends can influence us, and it generally isn't, well, let's put it this way, you put one bad apple in the bushel and before long they're all bad, you know, it's kind of that idea. You got to be careful who you keep company with and who we keep company with, even as adults, not just kids. So we're in the world, but we're not of it. He doesn't listen to the ungodly man, and he doesn't linger with the sinful man. And so I think what we're being taught so far here is that we're not to participate basically in the sinful practices that men and women who are ungodly have. I think of couple examples maybe that kind of messed up their position. They were blessed people. They were happy people, I think, in the Lord. Abraham, he kind of decided to get out of where he was, get down to Egypt for a little more food. And down there he had to lie and said that his wife was his sister. I guess that was a, I don't know, that was a lie. And Pharaoh, finding out, Abraham lost his witness. He was with the wrong crowd. He was saying the wrong things. He was doing the wrong things. Think of Peter, you know. He was finding himself, warming himself at the world's fire while his very Savior was being tried wrongfully and denied the Lord even, and it says, with oaths and with curses. Another thing that this man doesn't do is he doesn't laugh at the scornful man. There's a progression if we took notice of these things here in these first few verses. progression in like wickedness, there's the ungodly, then there's the sinner, and then there's the scornful. And as the company gets worse, the sin increases its grip upon us. First it's ungodly, then it's the sinner, and then it's the scornful. The godly man has pleasure, though. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, the godly man, he's satisfied with God's law. In fact, he's not just satisfied with it, he's delighted in it. God's law, God's word, the Bible, the thing we have in front of us, is what he's satisfied with and delights in. He's got a different counselor. Isn't the counsel of the world, or the ungodly man, but it's the counsel of God, God's word. And his full attention, the word has his full attention, and both day and night, it says. He meditates upon it. And I would wonder, as we meditate over a portion of Scripture we read, whatever it might be, a small portion or a large portion, we might ask ourselves some questions as we meditate on it. Is there any sin in this passage here for me to avoid as a believer? Any promise for me to claim? Any victory here for me to claim or to gain? Or any blessings more to enjoy, or any truth that I haven't seen before about the Savior, about God, about the Holy Spirit. These things are what we're to meditate on in God's Word as we read it and ponder over it. And then there's the godly man, he has prosperity. He has pleasure, and then he has prosperity. it says that he's by the water. Water speaking of the Word of God, okay? And God just said that he's going to prosper. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed man, the godly man, the one who's striving to do God's will in his life. There's a big contrast here. We have the godless man in the last three verses. He's a person who leaves God out of his life. We know of them. We know of them. We know them because we were one at one time. But the ungodly man. Now, by definition, you might say, we can say man is either he's married or he's unmarried. He's happy or he's unhappy. He's thankful or unthankful, or he's a godly man or an ungodly man. There's a stark contrast, and this psalm only reminds us of that. We're either a godly man or we're an ungodly man. And that ungodly man in the verses here says that he's driven. Somebody that's driven, or an animal that's driven, isn't necessarily going where they want to go. They're being led by something, and it's usually not their will. And it says that the ungodly man is driven. See, he's not rooted by the water of the word like the godly man, but he's like the shaft, it says. And we have quite a bit of wind around, and so you've seen it and what it does many times over where we work. We have a lot of wind and a lot of dust, and we see a lot of driven dust. And it's sort of like the shaft. It just, there's no control over it. That ground just didn't pop up there and say, I'm going to go all by myself. It just went because it was driven by the wind, a force that it can't see or has nothing to do. He's at the mercy of these forces that he can't see or control. Sometimes people say that they're the master of their own soul and the captain of their own destiny, but that is not so of the ungodly man. He is not the master of his own soul, nor is he the captain of his own destiny. The Bible says that he's doomed because he has no standing in the day of judgment. When he stands before the great white throne, all the things that he was surrounded with here on earth and the things that he's worked for are all longer gone. Everything's gone. Those ambitions, that wealth or whatever he may have acquired, those things that maybe drove him unknowingly, they're all gone. Everything. And it says not only is he doomed, but he's damned. See, there's only two ways, and we're pretty much aware of that, I think, but the scripture talks about that, and this is it. There's only two ways. The way of the cross that leads to Calvary, the way of the cross that leads by Calvary to glory, which we're looking forward to someday as the Lord may come or will end, pass through from this life and into his presence. And there's the way of the curse, which is the broad way, that only leads to a lost eternity. By nature, we're born into this world. We have children here tonight that are newborns, not too old, and yet they're little sinners, as Uncle Dave would say. We're big sinners, but we're just little sinners. And by nature, by practice. Basically, we're set on that broad way which leads to destruction. But the difference, but by deliberate choice, I should say, we can make the change as we come to the Lord Jesus, receiving him as our Savior, who said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So we're no longer driven, but rather we're directed. Not driven, but directed. And that by the very Son of God. The ungodly man, on the other hand, can no more fight his destiny as he thinks he can than the shaft which it says that is blown by the wind. Forces he can't see. Forces he can do nothing about. And the passage ends by saying, but at the way of the ungodly, it'll perish. The ungodly is going to perish. It's a sobering thought to begin the Psalms with, this book of many human emotions. The ungodly shall perish. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. So it's a sobering thing. Psalms are great. I enjoy them. I know probably you do too, as you've read them and pondered over them. But may the Lord help us as we do so, that and live this life, that we'll find ourselves being blessed because we're in that path that the godly man has taken, and that we might have a desire in our life to reach out to the ungodly, that they too might come to know the one who to know is life eternal. So, that were my few thoughts for tonight, a little devotional, and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we bow in your presence, we just again thank you for the privilege of being here, for being able to meet like this, to pray to you, to intercede for others. As we think of those prayer requests we brought up to you tonight, we ask again that you would, as you've heard them, you will act on them as you see fit, and that all might be done according to your will. And we'll thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Part us with your blessing. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord willing. And we pray for John as he comes and ministers to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.